Hi, today is September 17th, 2023. I'm Tadagasa Ward with my good friend, a good Dr. John Westfall, and our good friend, Steve Hughes, who's back with us. And we were just having a debate about if, my name is so short, there's no shorter version. Well, I guess there could be. But at any rate, whether the good Dr. Jonathan Westfall wants to be referred to as Jonathan or John, he said he doesn't care. Yeah. And I think Steve doesn't care if it's Steven or Steve, with a V, I should note.
Just don't call me late for dinner. That's all I care about.
That's right. There you go. So what I should note, once again, we are recording using Adobe Podcast Studio Beta because I'm really, there are other things I could have subscribed. I don't subscribe to it. This is a free beta. But I'm giving it some thought because I just want to not have to depend on having a Mac around to record podcasts at some time in the future. So I'm giving this thought whether, I'm willing to spend $100 a year for Adobe Express Premium, which will eventually include Adobe Podcast Studio and Adobe Podcast Enhance, which I use quite regularly until they reduce the maximum processing time from 60 minutes to 30 minutes for free, which is still, I think, fine. I mean, for free, 30 minutes is pretty good. And if I'm really, really industrious, I could just break up 30 plus minute podcasts into two, and you can do up to 60 minutes a day for a free account. But at any rate, so we're using Adobe Podcast Studio Beta for this, and I should take a screenshot so people know what that looks like. Let me take a screenshot. It says recording, and you can see sort of a audio volume pattern on the screen. And I'm the only one talking, so the screenshot will only have me rambling on. Anyway, so Apple had its annual fall iPhone event. Oh, I should say iPhone Apple Watch event. And I think we're mostly going to talk about that. First of all, I'm not planning to buy anything, I think. At least I'm not planning to buy an Apple Watch yet, even though my battery's getting a little flaky. I was giving some thought about trading in my iPhone 14 Pro and getting a 15 Pro for something. But I'll talk about why I may not have to do that anymore. But at any rate, Steve, your thoughts? You going to buy anything?
Probably not. I mean, the name of the event was what called Wanderlust.
Yeah,
I would have more wondering than lusting for. Because I was puzzled. Like, they introduced USB-C on the iPhone 15, mm-hmm. iPhone 15 Pro, but I guess they're only including like a 20-watt cable that's in the box. So if you want to do anything,
yeah.
But and the data that goes through it is only fast for the Pro. And the cable that's in the box only goes at the speed of the Lightning cable. So it's like, you still have to buy a new cable if you want to go faster or use your other USB-C cable you have for some other devices. So I was like, oh, is that the way that they're going to reduce maybe like 35-watt, 45-watt, probably in iPhone 16, 17, do that incremental adjustment too. So other things they happened too, I noticed as soon as that thing went live too, there was a rip to the MagSafe chargers that had Lightning connectors. Those are no longer available. So if you had the MagSafe and the MagSafe Duo, those are now both gone. I don't know if they're going to be upgrading those to USB-C or if they're also going to come out with a Qi 2 compatibility with that as well, too, because I know the iPhone 15 and 15 Pro are not Qi 2 certified yet, but if you look at the code, it looks like it is available for it. And there is some, like, if you use some of the tools, you look around there, you can see you can have, like, the battery charging widget will show up for the, like, shows up for the MagSafe charger and now show up for Qi 2. Devices. Yeah. So hopefully that will come out for another device like Anker. It makes a really good battery device, but I don't know if they're going to be doing also some feedback between the battery as well too through the Qi, if there's going to be any data transfer to help regulate the heat transfer and keep it down and throttle it. Because I know the MagSafe, actually they stay very cool when they do charge. They're going to probably charge at 5 watts as opposed to 15 watt from the Qi that are out there. So hopefully that we'll see some more information that comes out on that. And probably, I would expect that probably be what, the October? Usually they have an October data release.
Yeah, for the iPad. So probably, yeah.
Yeah. So they'll probably do that as long as like the new headset too, that what they call the AirPod Pro 2.
Yes. Yes.
Now probably have USB-C as well.
With USB-C. Yeah. With USB-C. That's the big deal. And we can talk more about that in a minute too, because actually there's some questions about that. My question to you, though, Steve, is for, your comment about the 20-watt fast charging, only 20-watt fast charging. So is your desire for a higher higher speed support just because you want to use it for other things, or you want it to be able to charge even faster, well, or something else?
I usually only plug in for like 5-10 minutes at a go, so usually if I'm going someplace. So that's where I like it, and where you can do that quick ramp up. But I understand you have to account for battery life too. I mean, that's why they always try to do slow. If you notice, like, they have their slow battery charging mode where they step up the power slowly so it doesn't, that thermal damage to the battery doesn't occur, so you can extend the life of the battery. I'm sure that's probably what they're trying to figure that out, to get that smooth ramping that goes on. I think Android does a really good job with. I mean, never see any issues with their batteries on in Samsung or any of the Google devices that it's had. So I don't know why Apple is taking the long road to get to that. I know they have the technology to do it. Maybe they just want to do some incremental changes. They have something to say, this is the greatest iPhone available. I don't know. It's just, I'm sure it's probably both marketing. Also, they probably had supply chain as well too, to get that stuff, so they can make sure that this supports all the EU and they can support the rest of the world. So I know they had, actually, the people who tried pre-order on the 15th, they sold out. It's hard to get.
Yeah, I heard about that. So it's too late for me to do anything, but that's okay. As a poor retiree, I'm trying not to buy stuff. unless I really need to, or, you know, the urge is uncontrollable to get something.
But some of the cool things you could do with it too, you got the reverse charging. So you can charge your Apple Watch if you need to, or your AirPods. You can plug them into the AirPods Pro 2, right? Second gen. So it's some cool things you can do with it, which other people have already been able to do in the past. So
yeah.
The other thing I like too is that new programmable action button too. I think that's huge. And probably see that on the iPad. I see probably coming forward, maybe, and even a button on the MacBooks as well too.
Yeah, I think the reverse charging is cool. It would be even cooler if they had the sort of a Qi wireless charge. You can just put your AirPods Pro on top of your iPhone and charge it up.
Like Android devices have, yeah.
Yeah. But that would be sort of interesting. But you know, that said, my Pixel 7a, I'm not sure I would want to do that, because I don't think it can. This model, I don't think a 7a can do that. But boy, I tell you, that thing runs hot. And I've been doing a few in-person podcasts where I stick a 700 megahertz wireless lav transceiver into the USB-C port, and which sitting in the shade on a, you know, like an 80 degree weather, so it's warm but not unbearably hot, doing a short podcast at a friend. I think it was like maybe 17 minutes long. I actually got a thermal warning at the end of that, you know, 20 minutes or so, saying, hey, your phone is running pretty darn hot, my 7A. So I thought that was interesting. And I was not holding it. I was sitting on a cool metal table, you know, or cooler.
Yeah, I get a thermal warning just by stepping out in the sun for 5 minutes out here. So with my iPhone and Android devices, it's great.
Hey, you live in a pretty warm part of the country for sure.
Yeah, it's a sun.
Warmer than me.
Definitely what it is, sun exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of the AirPods Pro 2, so I'm kind of confused now. So in the event, the only change that I could see was that it was getting a USB-C charging case, which you cannot buy separately, so I can't buy it for my existing AirPods. Well, I don't actually have the original AirPods Pro 1, but my wife has AirPods Pro 2, and she can't buy USB-C charging case for it, which would be very helpful. But according to what's the guy who does Daring Fireball, in his thoughts and observations on Wonderlust, he says the change from Lightning USB-C is obvious, and there's increased dust resistance. But he also says, but the ultra low latency lossless audio is interesting.
Because they want to get it's kind of one of those hidden updates they did. So they can link to the Vision Pro. I think that's where they're looking at doing, so they'll have a better connectivity between the two, because it's going to be huge processing power going between the two.
Yeah. Assuming they're electronically the same, I wonder if this is really AirPods Pro 2 versus Pro 2.1, and if that means that this lossless audio, ultra low latency lossless audio is going to be a firmer upgrade for existing, you know, 2022 AirPods Pro 2. So
possibly, but I think it's probably some hard, they change a chip in the inside.
Yeah.
Just an incremental change.
Yeah.
Most people won't notice it unless they have the hardware that goes with it, but I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I would buy a new AirPods Pro 2 because it's going to also support that new automatic transparency or whatever they're calling it, where somebody talks to you, it dampens or removes the noise cancellation so you can hear the person speaking to you. But as John knows, AirPods Pro fall out of my ears, so I don't even walk around with it.
I go the third party, the little silicone ear things, replace those, makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I bought a couple of those with the kind of little hooks in my ears, but then I had to take them off to charge it and stuff. So I said, eh.
Oh yeah. I got one that fits in the case. They're black.
Yeah. You mentioned that. Yeah. Wait, can you put a link in our show notes?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. I should look at those. Because I would like to use, I paid good money for my AirPods Pro 1. I'd like to use them more often. Okay, now speaking, we're talking about cables, for USB-C cables. And you have a good tip here for just using an adapter so you don't have to, sacrifice your old cables if you're completely upgrading.
Yeah, $29 if you want to spend the money from Apple, convert to USB-C to Lightning adapter. I mean, I would just get a new cable from another company that supports the higher 35 watt, 45 watt, and faster data transfer. I mean, that's what I would go with. Seems to be like my go-to.
And the other thing you can do is kind of funny is I have got a new wireless lav mic that comes with the transceiver is by default USB-C, but it comes with a USB-C to Lightning adapter, so you can plug it into a iPad OS, iOS device. And so if you pay, I think it's like $30. If you buy $30, you can get the adapter and a wireless lav mic pair.
Like a no-go deal. So
that might be a better deal for some people. And it's very tiny. It's shorter than a fingernail. I mean, it's really tiny. So there you go. That's my advice. Just go buy a wireless lav mic pair if that's something interests you that supports both Android and Apple. So John, I think last week when we spoke, you want to know the proper pronoun.
Well, I did order something.
Oh no.
So the question is, what did I order?
Yes. What? Apple Watch.
Yes, it was one of the Apple Watches.
Yeah.
Now, was it the Series 9 or the Pro or the Ultra?
Oh boy.
I say you went for the Ultra.
Yeah. Green Steve.
You are both correct. I went for the Ultra 2. I had been tempted by the Ultra a couple of times last year, and then I thought, well, I'm not going to, as soon as the rumors start coming out that an Ultra 2 was going to be released, I thought, okay, I'll hold off. And so, yeah, my battery on my Series 6 is down to 78% or so.
Wow.
So it's really getting to the point where it's becoming a real annoyance to me that I'm charging all the time. And so I decided to pull the trigger on the Ultra 2, knowing that it is a very small upgrade from the Ultra original. But that's fine, because, like I said, the Ultra was tempting me at times over the last year. So I figure it was just hold off for another month or two more and get something that's a little bit better. I'm largely on the iPhones. I'm glad to see USB-C. I'm glad to see the migration toward all Apple products using USB-C. I think Lightning had a good 10-year run, but I am a little annoyed by the things you already mentioned with the cables and the differences in speeds between USB 2 and USB 3 on the regular and the Pro models. So I'm fine doing another year with my iPhone 13 Pro before I would consider upgrading that. Plus, I'm still thinking I probably will do a iPad Pro upgrade at some point in the year. And I still have not completely ruled out the Apple Vision Pro as something I might want to play with. So I'll just go with the Ultra 2 for now and hold off on iPhone upgrading for a little bit longer.
Interesting. Now, I have
bundle deals.
Go ahead.
John would be jumping at
that. Yeah.
I have a question for you guys because it wasn't clear to me and I want to get a better understanding about the Apple Watch. Do you know that double tap gesture? Is that only for certain models of the Series 9 or is it all of the Series 9 watches?
It's the whole thing, and including my Series 6, it works fine on under watchOS 10. So it is, it's already there.
It's already there under the gestures, under accessibility. you can kind of get to it now.
They
call it something else though. They called it, it said double tap, like the assassination technique. Double clench.
It was all assistive touch was the accessibility feature that was introduced 2 years ago. So you've actually been able to do this for 2 years under accessibility.
Wait.
It's really cool.
This is when we talk about the double tap, we're talking about the no touch, right? Where you, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're like, how does it work? I mean, how does
it detects muscle movements, and it wasn't as great as it is now. I do notice that with watchOS 10, it's much more consistent than it used to be, because I played with it when it first came out. In fact, I'm going to look up what podcast we actually talked about it in, because I know I was very interested when it came out and mentioned it, and I played with it then. Didn't keep it turned on ultimately because it was not as reliable, but now I turned it on with watchOS 10 the day of the announcement, and I've been using it all week. It's pretty reliable these days.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, because if you, I use it when I mountain bike, so it's like, it's easy because that way you don't have to take your hands off the handlebars. You can just sit there and just lift one hand up and do that pinch, double pinch, and clench your fist. So it's pretty nice. So you basically just go into, what is it, under accessibility, assistive touch, I think it's under. And then
is this available under a watchOS 9 as well as 10? So I assume you're running the beta release candidate or something, John.
Yeah, technically it is available under 9, but it's in that accessibility features. It's a little easier to find under 10, but it's there. It's just not as prominent.
Sorry, Siri decided to talk to me about something. You guys still there?
Yep.
Yes.
I couldn't hear you because, the S lady got into my AirPods Pro. Okay, I will wait till the updates hit tomorrow. I'm still running OS, 9.6.2 or something.
So Assistive Touch was announced at WWDC 2021, and it rolled out later that year in 2021. So yeah, it's been 2 years, just not as good as it is now.
Okay, I'm going to forgive that. And I assume all of that. Oh, go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what they're claiming for the new Apple Watch. They wanted to push out something new in their new cycle. So they have the new S9 chip with a new neural engine, which is something like 20-30% faster than the previous version, what they always say. They weren't clear on exactly what it does, but I guess now Siri also works also on-prem or on the watch itself, rather than always reaching out to the cloud, pulling information back, and also does some other stuff with like health data as well too. So if you want to like find out what your heart rate was, rather than going up to the cloud to check your heart rate, you can actually read what was on the watch. I mean, I don't know if that's really using the data or just better programming. And then the double touch feature, they said, is now more capable because they have the faster chip. But I think it's just an operating system upgrade, so that they just finally pulled out from the blanket and said, hey, you know what, this could be implemented a little bit better, and they tweaked it.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. Now I feel less compelled to upgrade from a Series 6 to a 9. Although, anyway, yeah, that was a thing for me, so I'm glad I don't have to do that.
Yeah, or just wait till Black Friday sales, maybe see what happens then, too.
That's a good point, too.
Try them on when you have some free time. And
yeah.
Feel the weight.
And what's the precision, my find, that I guess you noted, Steve, in our show notes?
Yeah, they upgraded the ultra wide band chipset inside both the iPhones and also on the Apple Watches too. So the SE and Series 9 and the ultra watches. So they all got the upgrade. So it's a little bit, they use haptic feedback now too. As you get closer to it, it starts to vibrate and do a little cloaker beam. So it's a lot more accurate. So if you lose your AirPods or you lose your Apple Tags, I mean, you can find them a lot more precision rather than just being, it's somewhere around you. You actually can you can point it, and it's kind of like a Star Trek, trying to find something. Gives you a little bit of feedback.
Yeah, and you do note that for this new feature, the precision might find with ultra wideband, that it's only in the new watches, only in the Series 9?
Yeah. I mean, there might be some, also it's like software improvements. We don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure as it comes out, they might roll it out, maybe back to it, but it's definitely due to the chipset. I mean, I think that's what's also inside also the new AirPods as well too. AirPod, they probably have a better ultra wide as well too, so they can also use the Find My, because that's one of the features they activated through software, which was already there. Last year, I think it was, they implemented that, so you can use it. I thought that was a great feature too.
I was chuckling because I was just reading ahead in the show notes that you added to, and you were wondering if there will be a titanium iPad. Oh my gosh, I hope not. I can't imagine what the price of that thing will be.
Well, the thing is, like, too, is like the phones aren't pure titanium. It's titanium on the outside, and it's what they call it, like, thermomechanically bonded to aluminum on the inside. So that's what it is. I don't know what that thermomechanical is. Is it like heat and pressure, or is it just epoxy glue?
Yeah. You gotta love engineering terms that, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know what the technique is, but titanium is always nice. I mean, it's better for heat dissipation as well, and just they can get a little rounder, thinner shape to it, and it feels a little bit better in the hands.
Yeah. Okay, I am going to have to give a lot of thought, and then I will wait for the day after Thanksgiving to see if something interesting happens in the Apple Store. One can only hope. One can only
check your local.
Now, one. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, Costco, home of technology. And I say that in all seriousness. I don't know how much tech I've bought from Costco. It's been a lot. Though now the one thing that had me considering getting an iPhone 15, you know, earlier I was asking you about some iPhone 15 things, and that is the new portrait photography feature, which lets you edit and change focus after the photo is taken. You know, this is not just changing the blur type, the bokeh effect. This is actually changing the focus of the subject. And I thought about, do you guys remember the old Lytro camera, the light field?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember those out, God, probably 10, over a decade ago? I think Google bought the technology and never did anything with it. Or maybe they did, and I just don't know it. I was thinking, did they really? Because let me look at my...
If it goes to the camera app, and you can change the focus too after post and post.
After you take the photo?
Yeah.
I got to test that. Okay, I'll go take a look. Because I also have the... Yeah, I'll take a look. Because I thought that was kind of more dependent on the Google Photos app. But I almost was going to pull the trigger and trade in my iPhone 14 Pro and buy a 15 Pro just for that feature. But according to 9to5 Mac, that refocusing, which is a better word to me, that refocusing mode or feature is going to be not, it's not exclusive to the iPhone 15. And so I'm not sure what model you need. The only thing I'm running a beta on right now is an old iPhone XS. So I don't think that one can do it. But after my iPhone 14 Pro is updated tomorrow, I'll see if that's available. And then again, if it's not, I'll have to think about it day after Thanksgiving. Yeah. No kidding, lots and lots of pennies. I did check the trade-in value for the 14 Pro, and it's not too bad. It's like $475, so you know the pain will be slightly less. Now, the one thing that go ahead.
I was just gonna say it's interesting how we, you know, the prices have gone up, but yet we're upgrading less frequently, at least.
Yes,
at least, you know, the slowdown of the new features that I think all of us have talked about. How the 2000s we still finally remember is the, you know, crazy thing of, you know, every year a giant new feature that made you want that latest device. And we haven't had that in at least a decade now. And I guess that's fine because everything's gotten more expensive. But we're getting, I think, more value at least out of what we have. So I am glad that I'm not feeling like I'm constantly creating a ton of e-waste by upgrading every year.
That's a good point. Yeah, in fact, I'm waiting.
Now too. They give you less and less. Like, what do you get when you get a phone now? You don't get...
Well, and that...
You know, you get...
Ironically, that makes me feel better about throwing out the boxes that I always kept.
Yep.
I used to keep so many boxes. Now it's like, there's a minimum amount. If the thing costs less than $500, I probably don't keep the box anymore.
Oh, that's funny. You said, I've finally gotten around to tearing apart the boxes. Because, you know, especially Apple boxes are so nice that I kept them around. That's for sure. Now, the one thing that I makes me almost want to get iPhone 15 Pro specifically is for the spatial video recording feature that I think is not out yet, but is going to come out in the near future, probably around the same time the Vision Pro is out. And also makes me want to think, oh golly, do I really want to spend, how much is the Vision Pro going to be? I can't remember. Is it $2,000 or $3,000?
$3,500.
Oh my goodness gracious. And that doesn't include the lenses for those of us who wear glasses and okay, maybe not.
No.
But
just get your eyes fixed first. That'll be fine.
You could try the education deal. You'd probably get a little discount, maybe.
Oh,
yeah, I probably could.
Yeah, it's good point. Good point. I still think John should get an NSF grant, but hey. But that's the one thing I would consider, you know, getting not just iPhone 15 Pro for that feature in preparation for the Vision Pro. But boy, $3,500 plus for me, prescription lenses, blah, blah, blah. I don't think so. But it's a thought. It's a thought. The one I'm really looking forward to, by the way, is not so much the iOS updates, although there's some fun things like, what is it called? Live, I can't remember what it's called now. But, you know, like a live emoticon things that you can send in messages. That's kind of fun. I actually tried that last night on my beta or release candidate phone. But I'm really looking forward to the iPadOS 17 update tomorrow so I can finally have adjustable windows in Stage Manager, which I don't currently use, generally speaking.
Yeah, I've found in general the quality of life improvements in 17 on iOS and iPadOS and watchOS to be worth the upgrade. And macOS Sonoma is nice. I've been running it for a week now and have been pretty happy with it. So generally this year, I'd say nothing that, you know, you want to rush out and get a new feature, but you probably want to upgrade soon just to be able to play around with some of these things. I did have one hiccup. You know, there's always that you upgrade iOS or macOS, sure, and you get some weirdness. I found that my Windows printer, my printers that are connected to Windows print servers,
right,
it broke. And they broke because my username and password, my username didn't include the domain name. So I had to clear the saved credentials in Keychain Manager, which now when you open up Keychain Manager on macOS, it gives you this wonderful pop-up that says, are you sure you want to use this archaic tool and you don't mean to go to settings and look at your saved passwords in Safari? It's like, no, I actually want to go to Keychain Manager. I had to delete out my saved credentials and then re-authenticate to the print server using my username app domain name instead of just my username. So that was a weird little hour of annoyance one morning. Otherwise, all the upgrades went flawless.
Is that because they changed it from iCloud to iCloud Plus and they made it done looking at the back end?
I don't know. I doubt that. I think it was just that whatever macOS networking and Samba and Cups all think of as authentication to a Windows SMB print server, they just the default domain has changed somewhere over the years. And so whereas in the past it could have been something on my the back end on the network that I was connecting to, something that the printer admins had changed. But that, I will say, for all the weirdness I've had over the years doing upgrades, to have just that be the thing that broke was pretty cool. Everything else went smoothly.
Well, and you know, that is, I won't say it's an unusual setup, but it is not a not what 90% of the people in the world have. So I'm not surprised it broke in a way.
Very, I think it's kind of funny. It's like, I can print easier from my iPhone than I can from my Mac and my PC, which I think is so ridiculous. It finds me a printer, no problem. Anywhere I go, amazing.
Hey, you know, on a non-Apple note, did you guys read that Microsoft is going to stop providing third-party printer drivers as part of Windows Update?
Well, they've been doing that for a while. That's how they shrunk it down, the size of the image.
Yeah.
I thought
they were still providing some updates though, or you know, maybe they're providing just the drivers upon initial install, because it seemed to be a lot easier.
Yeah, they'll still reach out and then they'll download it from the Windows server. That's how they usually do. They check to see if they'll look through your registry and then see what matches, and then they'll download it depending on what the drivers are and if how good the manufacturer is keeping those drivers updated, and they keep it uploaded to the Windows sus servers.
Oh, and Steve, thanks for putting in the link for those anti-slip ear tips for the AirPods Pro.
Sure. Yeah, those are a different brand, I think, because the other one is no longer available, but it looks like the similar one to it. But you can always return them as well, too, which is kind of gross, but I don't know who goes through and cleans those out after it comes back, but at least you can return it.
You know, on a different note, I don't think it was AirPods, but I saw somebody who had a pair of Bluetooth earbuds that had a hook on the top, and the hook on the top had Vulcan ear tips so that you have pointy ears when you wear your earbuds, which I thought was pretty cool. I thought of John right away because, as you know, John is a Star Trek fan extraordinaire. I mean, I'm a Star Trek fan, but I think John is beyond me. I think he has shirts and stuff.
Yeah, I have some things here and there. Oh, the other thing that I just add to our show notes that, you know, iPadOS, iOS, macOS, everything this year that was interesting to me, Apple didn't talk about. So I will say I created my personal voice. So I talked to my iPhone for minutes and it did that. It sounds like a robotic me. That's a cool feature to play with. And puzzles are now in News Plus. So you get a new crossword and crossword mini every day now that you can play straight in the News Plus app and not have to download a crossword app.
Did you install iPadOS 17 release candidate?
Yes.
And does News Plus support audio stories now?
I would have to check. I assume it should.
But because it didn't. It doesn't. iPad, you know, up until iPadOS 16 current, it does not. You have to use an iPhone to listen to audio stories in Apple News Plus. Yeah, I understand it. Because
the icons on the front screen, that was it. I haven't gone to the news app yet.
Yeah, I thought it was odd because, you know, the iPads have better speakers. It's actually a better listening experience.
Oh, they do.
You know, but anyway, I'm hopeful because I actually do listen to those stories. That they're quite interesting, and many of them are quite well done by their authors. I guess there are a bunch of things that were not in the keynote for time savings, as you note. Anything else that wasn't in
well,
there?
Well, I think they changed the base memory too. I don't think they mentioned that or highlighted that. Not like with the Pro Max, I think the base memory is now at 256. So you don't have to pay extra.
Yeah, they did.
So it's included in the price, which is kind of nice. You save an extra $100 usually is what they tap down
for. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know why they just haven't done across the whole line, but I guess that's what maybe we'll do next year. You know, they'll stretch it out as long as they can.
Yeah, and I got to say, I have cheaped out a few times, and I bought my first iPad Pro. I thought, well, it's going to be a consumption-only device, and I'm going to, you know, not be doing much else with it. So, you know, browsing and stuff. And so I only got 32 gigs of RAM, and oh my gosh, that was tough to deal with, to get an upgrade.
That's the operating system to go over half of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so after that, I didn't get anything less than 256 and, you know, paid the price. But yeah, I think Apple just had so much to say. You know, of course, you know, that their environmental skit, which I enjoyed, went on and on and on. But it was entertaining. But it was pretty long. It seemed like half the keynote at one point, but that's fine. That is fine indeed. Okay, so that's kind of all we have for the Apple stuff. There's a Google event coming up October 4th, not too long from now. I think they've already released all the news for that, so I'm not sure there's going to be any surprises from Google. You guys heard anything? Anything from Google?
Yeah, Microsoft has their event. Not from Google. Oh. I know Microsoft has their event also next Thursday, I think, the 21st of September. Mm. So they could probably release some new information on their Surface line because they no longer have phones, so they want to stay in the news cycle as well, too. And I think they jammed it right between the Apple and Google announcement to say, hey, we got stuff, too. So who knows what they're going to be announcing, but I'm sure it's going to be Surface-related, the Surface Go, Surface, and Surface laptops to probably up those.
Microsoft Surface AI instead of Microsoft Go.
With built-in Bing.
Yeah.
ChatGPT.
Yeah. You know, it'll have a display on the outside of the case with a little face that talks to you when it's closed. You know, since they no longer have a phone, right? They no longer have the Duo phone, so they'll just... They probably have billions of, you know, little screens they've got to find a use for.
Yeah. The other thing to do is the Surface Studios. That they haven't upgraded that in a while either. So that might be Surface Studio 3, maybe. I think that's what the next one is.
Yeah. I really hope that Google next month, Google announces some updates for Android 14 that applies to the tablets. Because the tablet, I bought the Pixel tablet and as well as Swin.
It's stale.
And it's how was that?
It's very stale. I haven't seen many updates in the UI. And
yeah, exactly. That's the problem. So I'm hoping they do something. And I'm hoping the third-party vendors, you know, produce apps that actually resize for a tablet. Because so many simply don't, which is kind of...
Apple still has that same issue as well.
Yeah. Well, I have a new ergonomic folding Bluetooth keyboard that's supposed to come in soon. Just for the iPadOS 17 update. So we'll see how that goes. I'm really hoping I can use it. I'm really hoping I actually use Stage Manager this time. I got really excited about it last year. And, you know, I even bought an iPad, iPad Pro with an M2 chip, just so I had enough horsepower for Stage Manager. Then I tried it, and it's like, eh, eh. It's not worth the effort to use. And I never really used it after that first week of playing with it. Okay, I think that is about it. I want to thank Steve for joining us. We had some other friends who were hoping to join us today, but life got in the way. It's just stuff happens, and I hope everybody's doing okay. And I hope if you're, I guess the heat domes are kind of going away, although it's still pretty warm where some of you are. So hopefully it's gotten a little bit more comfortable. And we will talk to you next time. Again, thank you to Steve Hughes. And as always, thank you to good Dr. John Westman. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you next time.